You pop into a pharmacy, prescription in hand, seems simple enough, get your meds, head out.
Right.
But what goes on behind the counter when maybe things aren't quite right with that prescription?
Exactly. It's not always straightforward.
So today we're doing a deep dive based on those sources you shared, looking into how community pharmacies, across Europe handle these bumps in the road, drug-related problems, they call them.
That's the term, yes. Drug-related problems or DRPs. And that review article you sent, it pulls together quite a bit of research on this. So our mission, let's say, for this deep dive is really to get a handle on how these pharmacies actually spot these DRPs, how they categorize them, and how they document them.
The whole process, identify, classify, record.
Precisely. We want to unpack the systems, the hurdles they face, and really understand what works so you get a clear picture of this important safety aspect.
Okay, let's jump in. What is a drug-related problem exactly? Sounds a bit technical.
It can sound that way, but the definition from the Pharmaceutical Care Network Europe PCNE is pretty clear. They define a DRP as an event or circumstance related to drug therapy that actually or potentially affects desired health outcomes.
Okay, so actually or potentially, that sounds quite broad.
It is broad. It covers, everything from a side effect someone's having to maybe a situation where the drug isn't actually doing what it's supposed to, or maybe the dose is wrong, or there's an interaction.
Got it. And why is this so crucial? I mean, obviously safety matters, but how big of a deal are these DRPs?
They're a very big deal. They lead to real patient harm sometimes, they increase hospital admissions, and they definitely drive up healthcare costs. The review mentioned, for instance, that a significant chunk of hospital visits, especially for older people, are actually due to DRPs that could have been prevented.
Preventable ones.
Yes. And they even cited an estimate for England from 2021, I think, that put the cost of preventable adverse drug events at something like 98 million a year.
Wow, 98 million pounds just from
Not
preventable issues.
just the preventable ones, yeah. It really puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. That's huge. Makes you realize it's not just a minor pharmacy thing.
Definitely not. And, while hospitals have gotten a lot of research attention regarding DRPs, the review points out we know surprisingly less about what goes on at community pharmacies.
Which is weird because that's where most of us get our meds, right?
Exactly. So understanding how they catch and manage these problems is, well, it's vital, hence this deep dive.
Okay, so how do they catch them? How are these community pharmacies in Europe actually identifying potential DRPs day to day?
Well, the review synthesized findings from, I think, 48 studies focusing on identification, and a few main methods came up repeatedly.
Like what?
The most common one, mentioned in 19 studies, was basically relying on the professional knowledge of the pharmacy staff.
So the pharmacist's own expertise and experience.
Their training, their intuition, their knowledge of the patient if they know them. That's the first line of defense.
Makes sense. You hope your pharmacist knows their stuff. But is it just down to them knowing things?
No, not entirely. The second big method, reported in 15 studies, was using computer software.
Ah, technology.
Yes, but it's not like one single system everywhere. The review described a whole range of approaches. Some software automatically flags potential issues, like interactions or wrong doses.
Like a warning light.
Kind of, yeah. And others are tools pharmacists use during consultations, maybe linked to patient records. So technology is definitely another layer.
Okay, so human expertise plus computer checks. What else?
Then you've got the use of prescribing guidelines or what they call medication appropriateness indices. Eight studies mention these.
Appropriateness indices.
Yeah, these are tools with specific criteria to help judge if a medicine is really suitable for that patient. Things like national guidelines or the Beers criteria.
Oh, I've heard of the Beers criteria for older adults, right?
Exactly. That one flags potentially inappropriate meds for seniors. Then there's start-stop PP criteria, medication appropriateness index, different tools, same goal, a systematic check.
Okay, more structured approaches. Any other methods pop up?
A few others, yeah. Six studies mention things like patient questionnaires asking you directly about issues or maybe focusing extra attention on known high-risk drugs. And importantly, 18 of those 48 studies on identification also specifically mention that the pharmacy staff received training on how to spot DRPs.
Good. So training backs up the knowledge and the tools.
Seems to be part of the picture in many places.
All right, so let's say a potential DRP is flagged by the pharmacist, the computer, a guideline, whatever. What's the next step? How do they sort these problems out? Is there a system for categorizing them?
Okay, yeah, that brings us to classification. How are DRPs categorized? The review looked at 41 studies on this.
What did they find?
Well, the really big headline here is variety, a lot of variety. The term they used was heterogeneity. Basically, there's no single standard way it's done across Europe.
Really? So it's kind of all over the map.
That's a good way to put it. It makes comparing data really hard, and probably hinders sharing best practices too. It's like different pharmacies speaking slightly different languages about the same problems.
Huh. So how are they doing it then if it's so varied?
Well, the review found 18 studies use some kind of specific classification form or just a predefined list of DRP types.
Okay, like a checklist.
Sort of. Then 15 studies said they used established published classification systems. But, and this is interesting, in nearly half of those cases, 7 out of the 15, the pharmacies actually modified those published systems.
Ah, so they took a standard system and then changed it for their own use.
Exactly. Adapting it to fit their needs, presumably, which, adds another layer of inconsistency.
Definitely. Were any particular systems mentioned more often, even if they were sometimes modified?
A few names came up. The PI Doc system and the Westerlund classification were each used in 3 studies.
Okay.
Then the PCNE system from the same group that defined DRPs plus systems, called Document and GIASA, were each mentioned in 2 studies.
So a few known systems, but none seems to be the clear winner, the dominant standard across the board.
That's the impression,
Yeah.
yeah. No single go-to system.
Why do you think that is? Any clues in the review?
It didn't go super deep into the why, but you can imagine factors like different national healthcare setups, maybe how well pharmacies are linked with doctor systems, perhaps just historical habit in different countries.
Lots of potential reasons for the patchwork.
For sure.
But why does having a good, maybe standardized classification system matter anyway? What's the benefit?
Oh, the benefits are pretty clear, according to the review. Good systems have like clear definitions for each problem type. They're usually designed to be easy to use,
Yeah.
often structured logically, maybe hierarchically.
Makes sense.
And they help give a full picture of why the DRP happened for the causes. Using a solid system like that, it can make the whole pharmaceutical care process more effective, more efficient.
Right.
And crucially, it improves communication. If everyone, pharmacists, doctors, nurses, uses the same terms for the same problems, it just makes talking about them and solving them much, much easier.
A common language, yeah, that seems essential, especially if you move between providers or countries.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got identifying the problem, then trying to classify it, albeit inconsistently. What about keeping records? How is this stuff documented?
Right, documentation. The third piece, the review looked at 53 studies on this. And as they point out, good documentation is really vital
Vital for what, mainly?
for things like tracking and reporting adverse drug reactions, for starters, but also just for continuity of care, ensuring medicines are used safely over the long term. You need that history.
Yeah, definitely. So how is it typically done? Paper, computers, mix?
Well, interestingly, almost half, 24 out of the 53 studies, didn't actually specify how they documented things.
Huh. That's a bit of a gap.
It is. But of those that did specify, only 6 mentioned using purely paper-based systems.
Only six. So paper seems to be fading out.
It looks that way. The majority, 23 studies, described using computer-based methods.
Okay, so mostly digital now. Any details on how those computer systems work?
Some details. In 11 of those studies, it was pharmacy staff manually filling out electronic forms, like typing the info into a specific DRP record.
Makes sense.
In another 4, though, the documentation was reportedly automatic, maybe linked to those software alerts we talked about earlier.
Oh, interesting. The system logs it itself.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
And then for the remaining 8 studies using computers, they just didn't give more specifics on the process.
So again, even with computers, it's not one uniform approach.
Doesn't seem like it. So thinking about you, the listener,
Okay.
if you moved, say, from Spain to Sweden, the way any past medication issues were recorded could be totally different.
Yeah, that lack of consistency keeps coming up.
It's a major theme. Now, the review also tried to unpack what helps or hinders pharmacies in managing DRPs effectively, based on 23 studies.
Okay, the facilitators and barriers. Let's do the good news first. What helps?
Well, a key facilitator seems to be the pharmacist's own sense of professional identity, feeling that managing DRPs is a core part of their job, their value.
Right, taking ownership.
Exactly. Also, good collaboration with doctors was a big help. Makes sense, right? Solving problems often needs teamwork.
Definitely.
Getting paid for it helps too. Reimbursement for these kinds of services was mentioned. And, unsurprisingly, those electronic support systems, the software, were seen as facilitators.
Technology making things easier.
Uh-huh. And finally, the experience and specific training of the pharmacists themselves. More experienced or trained staff were better equipped.
Okay, that seemed pretty logical. I mean, what about the other side? What gets in the way? The barriers?
The biggest ones reported. Time. Just sheer lack of time in a busy pharmacy to properly investigate, address, and document every potential DRP.
I can imagine. They always seem so busy.
Yeah. And linked to that, sometimes a lack of enough experienced or trained staff to actually do the work effectively.
So time and staffing, common issues.
Very common in healthcare, yes. Other barriers mentioned, though less often, included maybe a lack of support from the pharmacy owner or other staff, or just the service not being seen as a top priority compared to, say, just dispensing quickly.
Competing priorities.
Exactly. It highlights that need for efficiency, finding ways to build DRP checks into the workflow smoothly. Maybe better tech, maybe smarter processes.
So let's pull all this together. We've looked at identification, classification, documentation, the helps and hindrances. What's the main takeaway from this whole deep dive into European pharmacies and DRPs?
I think the clearest, most significant conclusion is that striking lack of standardization. Across identifying, classifying, and documenting DRPs, there's just huge variation across Europe.
Right.
There are common threads, yes, shared tools, but no single unified approach to these really fundamental safety checks.
And for, you know, for you listening, trying to get your head around this quickly, what does that actually mean on the ground?
It means your experience, the way potential issues with your medicines are handled, could really vary quite a bit depending on where you are in Europe. The process, the thoroughness, the records kept, it might not be consistent.
So the big aha moment is that even though pharmacists are this crucial safety net, how that net operates isn't uniform at all.
That's a great way to put it. And the review authors really stress this point. There's a need for more standardized education for pharmacists in this area, and definitely for finding ways to make documentation less time-consuming.
To bridge those gaps.
Exactly. Because addressing these inconsistencies, creating more alignment, that could really boost patient safety and lead to more reliable pharmaceutical care for everyone, everywhere in Europe.
It's really amazing, isn't it? Thinking about all the complexity behind just picking up a prescription. This dive really shows the hidden variations in handling drug problems.
It certainly does. And maybe it leaves you with a final question to ponder. Given this lack of standardization we've talked about, this inconsistency in a core safety function, what does that really mean for patient safety overall?
Yeah.
And for where pharmacy practice in Europe should be heading?
Yeah.
Is a more unified, standardized approach something that's needed, something to actively work towards? Definitely food for thought as pharmacies keep evolving and we keep trying to make medication use safer for all of us.